Like that. All right. All right. Well, good morning, man. Glad you guys are here again. Welcome to the rest of you. Nice to have you. Awesome. We tricked you guys in the movie theater, but we never started on time. We're going to start on time now. So there you go. Hey, quick question to ingratiate everybody to me. How many of you guys have one of these? I don't mean an iPhone. How many of you guys have a cell phone? Everybody, right? Like if you don't have a cell phone, well, no, I guess some people don't, but anyway, most people do. They have cell phones, right? I have a cell phone. I sometimes sit around and think about, how did I live without this thing? Have you ever thought about that? Like this morning, I needed my wife desperately. I'll tell you why. I needed a belt. I didn't have a belt, and my pants were falling down, and I didn't think that was a good look for a pastor on stage. And so I called her like 15 times, and she wouldn't answer the phone. I just kept calling. Didn't have a cell phone, that would never work. But so the point of that is I've become dependent on this thing. I live by it. I live for it. It helps me. You guys have cell phones, but they don't always work right, right? Sometimes there's some irritating aspects to a cell phone. My least favorite aspect of a cell phone, and because I have AT&T, I have it more than anybody else, is a dropped call. Right? You guys ever have those drop calls? You're just sitting there talking away, chatting, surprised at how well your friend is listening to you. You're like, man, I must be telling like the best story ever because they are engaged. Like they're not making a sound. And you keep talking. And then we all have kind of had that realization, right? That moment where you go, oh no. I've been talking to myself for like 3 minutes, and you look at it, and yes, you have been talking to yourself for 3 minutes, and then you realize, those jerks, they didn't even call me back. That's how bored they were with what I was saying. They didn't even call me back to ask me what was going on. So I got to thinking about dropped calls, and I was like, what is the worst circumstance under which a dropped call could happen? And I think I figured it out, all right? Let's say, think back for a minute, maybe some of you are dating. Some of you are married. Some of you, you know, have decided, no, that's not for me. But I was thinking about a guy who's dating this girl. And they've been dating for a little while, and he's just now worked up the courage to tell her he loves her for the very first time, you know. And he's an idiot because he's going to do it over a cell phone. But it's just because he hasn't been to one of my series on relationships yet. Then he would know not to do that. But let's assume this guy's dumb. And so he's on the phone, and he works up the courage. And he gets ready, and he's talking. And he goes, and you know what? I've been thinking about this, and you know, I love you. I said, I love you. And nothing. So our guy's over here. He's now his heart's starting to beat out of his chest. A tear drops down his eye. But I said, I love you. And he starts crying and he loses it all because he had a dropped call. Or what I've just given you girls, I've just given you an easy out. If the guy ever does that, just pretend like the phone turned off. Right? That's an easy out. Just from now on, anytime somebody says something you don't want to talk about on the cell phone, just be like, click, dropped call. Dropped call, sorry. The call dropped. Stupid AT&T. Ah! Right? Now, dropped calls, they happen. You've all experienced them. They're no fun, right? They make us feel silly. Because, it's so funny. It's completely out of our hands. It's technology being technology. But I know when it happens to me, when I've been talking to myself for a while, I get embarrassed, right? It makes me feel weird inside. Nobody knows but me. Nobody knows. But it's still embarrassing. Because I feel silly. I feel stupid. I feel like I've just been talking to myself. And see, the series we're about to start today is about how to hear from God. And I think many of you in the room, and I'm going to throw myself into this too, one of the reasons we don't try to talk to God, or we don't try to hear from God, is because we're afraid of feeling silly. It's because we feel like we're talking and no one's talking back. We feel like there's a dropped call. We want to hear from God. We want to hear what he has to say. But there's some part of us that's like, man, he's not real. And if he is, he's certainly not going to respond. He's certainly not going to talk back. You know, he may not even be there. So See, hearing from God is this thing that you know, entertainment talks about a lot. You see movies about it. There are books about how to hear from God. And the problem is a lot of people talk about it, but I don't think very many people understand it. And if they do understand it, they do a terrible job of explaining it. Okay, because here's basically what we've taught ourselves is the truth about hearing from God, okay? It's that it's some mystical thing that, like, you have to climb to the top of the highest mountain and find a guru who can tell you what God wants to say to you, right? Or we convince ourselves that we have to, it's almost like trying to find a television signal, that we have to stand on one foot and kind of lean just right. And if we attain perfect balance, we might sort of maybe kind of one day sort of hear something that remotely kind of sounds like it might maybe be from God, maybe. Right? We've made it this hard thing, this thing that we can't figure out. And then if we do actually hear from God, if we do think, okay, that was God, I read something in the Bible, I felt like God was speaking to me, then we have to go through the rigmarole of, well, how do I know that was that really God? Or was that my imagination? Was that just my brain talking to me? Was that some subconscious thing my parents put in there a long time ago that was going to trick me into thinking I really need to do this and that? I just don't know. And that's just for the people in the room that actually believe God exists. Everybody else just thinks we're crazy. And the fascinating thing is, despite all that, there is still something inside us that wants to hear from God. There's something inside us that wants to understand. Why do you think people watch Oprah? You know? Because they think they can hear from God. That's Oprah, by the way. That ain't God. They read those books by Deepak Chopra. They read books like The Secret. What? But it's because they want to hear from God because they figured it out. I mean, think about it. Think about how awesome it would be if you really could hear from the God of the universe, okay? This God who created you, who loves you, and who knows the future. What if you could tap into that? What if you could hear from him? What if you could ask the God of the universe, should I start this business? What if you could ask the God of the universe, should I take this job? Should I buy this house? Are they the one? Should I ask them to marry me? Should I? Can I? What should I do next? Just imagine with me for one second, whether you believe in God or not, imagine with me how awesome it would be if you actually could tap into the God of the universe that created everything, that knows the future and loves you, and you could ask him, what should I do in this situation? That would be pretty helpful, right? That would be pretty awesome. And so the question for you today is it possible? Do you think it's possible to have a conversation with the God of the universe? Because I'm going to tell you my answer. I think you know because I'm preaching a whole series on it. Yes, I believe the answer is 100% absolutely yes. You can hear the God of the universe speak to you directly and clearly. That's why we've called the series High Fidelity. All right, High Fidelity is actually it's a music term. It's a term for sound systems. And what it means is that if the sound system is a high-fidelity sound system, which they all are now, but if it's a high-fidelity sound system, it means that it accurately reproduces exactly what the artist intended you to hear, loud and clear, free of noise and distortion. Okay? You hear exactly what Dave Matthews wanted you to hear when you listen to Dave Matthews, and you all should because he's awesome. Okay, you hear exactly if you have a high-fidelity headset, high-fidelity speakers. And what I believe is that the God of the universe wants to have with me and you a high-fidelity relationship where we hear exactly what he wants us to hear, loud and clear, free from noise and distortion. I believe it's possible. I know it's possible. And what I want to do today, because I know there's some of you in the room that don't believe that. Some of you don't believe in God in general. I understand that. Some of you in the room today don't believe it's that easy. Because you were brought up in a home or in a tradition that taught you, no. Only certain people can hear from God, and they're going to tell you what God says. It's dangerous for you to try to talk to God yourself. Let the experts handle it. Right? Some of you are taught that. Some of you are taught, well, the only way you can really hear from God is to get up and move. And some of you are afraid to hear from God because you're afraid if you listen to God, God's going to tell you to sell everything you have and move to Africa. You're terrified of that. Side note. If you're afraid of God telling you that and it doesn't sound like something you'd want to do, I don't think God's going to send you there. All right? Those people that moved to Africa to work for God, they are excited about moving there. And I'm excited about sending them money to move there. Okay? Just being honest. But see, the God of the universe wants to talk to you. He wants to be understood by you. So here's what we're going to do today. Okay? The whole series is going to be how to hear from God. All right, that's where we're going for the whole series. But for today, before we even get to that, what I want to try to do today is I really want to try to make one point abundantly clear to you, okay? The point is this. It's that God wants to be heard, okay? He wants to be heard. The entire Bible, from beginning to end, is one story of the God of the universe doing everything he can to reach out to humanity, to proclaim to them, I want to be known by you. I want to be heard by you. I want to have a relationship with you. It all started in the garden. In the Garden of Eden, we as believers, especially here at Wellspring, we believe the Bible. We believe there was actually a garden. There was actually an Adam, actually an Eve. That God created them. He put them in this garden. And he said, hey, everything you see here is yours. They had a perfect relationship with God, a half-fidelity relationship where they could talk to him, they could hear from him. And he said, here's one rule. I have one rule. That tree right there, don't eat from it. Everything else is yours. That tree, don't eat from it. And because we're, us, and if you tell us to do something, that we're going to do it. I have a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and an 8-month-old. The 5 and 3 have already learned the 8-month will. When I say don't do something, that means that's the most fun thing in the world to do, and Daddy hates me, and that's why he's telling me not to do it. And so I'm going to try it. And so that's what we did in the garden. That's what Adam and Eve did. Adam and Eve decided, I don't trust God. I don't believe he really wants the best for me. I think he's trying to hold out. And so they went and they broke the law, they broke the rule, and they ate his fruit. They ate the fruit from the tree that God had told them not to. And what happened there is when that decision happened, when Adam and Eve decided, God doesn't know best. I want to follow my own way. I know more than he does. They went against God's will for their life, and they committed a sin. All right? They committed a sin, which is anything that God doesn't want us to do. It displeased him. And that sin caused a really big problem. Okay? God's perfect. God can't be around sin. He's free from sin. And so when they sinned, a division came up between us and God. No more high-fidelity relationship. It was over. Was broken. We couldn't hear clearly from him. It was gone. He cast him out of the garden. And God very easily at that moment could have said, well, that didn't work. I'm done. But he didn't do that. He then began approximately 5,000 to 6,000 years worth of radical pursuit of you and I for one reason. Because God wants to be heard. It started in Genesis 12 with this guy named Abraham. All right, God went up to this guy named Abraham and he said, you know what, Abraham, you seem to be, I can tell your heart, you want to follow me, you want to know about me, I'm going to move through you, let's get busy, let's go do this. So he calls Abraham up and here's what he says. The Lord God has said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family and go to the land I will show you. He's like, all right, we're going to start over, me and you. Let's go, because I got a plan. I got a plan to show this world that they can be heard by me. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I'm going to bless you to bless others. I'm not blessing you just for your own sake. I'm going to bless you to bless others. That's a big deal, by the way. That's a message for another day, but we're all blessed to bless others, if you didn't know that. So if you walk around all the time talking about how blessed you are, but you're not blessing others, there's something wrong. Like I said, that's a message for another day. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Here's what God did. God chose Abraham, and he said, I'm going to move through you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to turn you into a mighty nation. It's the nation of Israel. And the entire Old Testament is their story. It's the story of God raising up those people, rescuing them from hardship. At one point, they were slaves. He rescued them. He gives them their own kingdom. As they obey him more and more, he lifts them up higher and higher. He gives them great success. And here's why he did it. Here's why he did it. He blessed the nation of Israel in the hopes that every other nation on earth would look at them and say, now, wait a minute. What's different about them? There's something different. Why are they so lucky? Why does everything they do work? How come they're so blessed? And the answer was supposed to be, because they follow the God of the universe. See, because they obey him, because they do what he wants them to do, when they do that, they're blessed. See, God was moving through the nation of Israel. He was using them as an example. He was holding them up as a megaphone to the world saying, this is how much I love you. This is what I want to do for you. You just have to be heard by me. But see, there was a problem with that. There was a problem with doing that completely through the nation of Israel. It's that they were people like me and you. And like me and you, they sometimes thought they knew more than God. I do, and I'm a pastor. Sometimes I still think I know more than God. I don't. I'm wrong. But my flesh teaches me sometimes, I know better. Well, that happened with the nation of Israel. And so, see, when they obeyed God, when they listened, prosperity and the model worked. But when they wouldn't listen to God, when they'd go their own way, the model didn't work. And so God was trying the whole time to be heard, say, I love you. I want the best for you. I want you to hear from me. I want to be drawn back to you. I want a relationship with you that'll be life-changing. But the method he was going through didn't always work. And so he had to go a next step. He had to keep going. All right, the entire Old Testament, you can read it. It's all one story of God pleading with humanity to listen to him. He spoke through prophets. He spoke through kings. He spoke through other nations. He spoke through a donkey at one point. I could have said the other word, but it would have shocked you. He spoke through a donkey at one point, all right? All because he wanted to be heard. He wanted that high fidelity relationship with us. But none of it was good enough. So over 2,000 years ago, God gave the ultimate gift to you and to me. The ultimate act of saying, I want to be heard by you. I want to be known by you. And this is how much. Over 2,000 years ago, God put on skin. And he came in the form of his son, Jesus. Maybe you've heard of him. This guy, Jesus, came to earth. And he lived a perfect, sinless life. He did everything that God had ever commanded him to do. And here's why he did it. Here's why Jesus had to come on his own. Here's why he had to send his son. It's because he had no other choice. This is key. He had no other choice in the matter. Remember I talked about the garden. Remember I talked about our sin. Remember I talked about how you and I have made mistakes. Adam and Eve went against God. Well, I'm going to believe that you and I have also gone against God from time to time. Right? Am I the only one? Didn't think so. We do things our own way. We say, you know what, God, I got it. I know better than you. I know you say to love my neighbor, but you don't know my neighbor. So I'm not going to love him. I'm going to talk bad about him. God, I know you said to share and be generous, but you don't know my situation. I just found out my kid's got to have his tonsils out and his adenoids out and a tube in his ear. That's true, by the way. And you still want me to be generous and share? You want me to give away 10% of my stuff? Are you crazy? See, we've all done that. We've all been there. We've all sinned. And here's what happened when we sin. It just continues the wall that was created when Adam and Eve went against God for the very first time. See, I said before, God's perfect. What that means very, very, very basically is that God is without sin. He's clean. He's pure. The Bible says he is holy. Okay? So he can't be around sin at all. Can't come in contact with him. And we, because we make mistakes, are sinners. And it doesn't even matter how many sins we commit. If you've committed one sin ever in your life, you're a sinner. And God can't be around you. No high fidelity relationship. It can't happen. And here's the worst part. Because God's perfect, which he is, he's also, every aspect of him is perfect. So he's perfect, but he's also perfectly just, which means he requires justice. Okay? It's like Superman fights for truth, justice, and the American way. Well, God requires justice, which means when a sin is committed, it must be punished. It must be paid for. And that's no good for me and you. Because we've made mistakes. Because we've sinned. And God, because he's perfect and his perfect justice that requires order in the universe, it requires that sin be punished. And it's not like we punish our kids, by the way. It's not like we're going to take away your iPad for a day. All right? It's not grounded for a week. It's not, we're going to give you a spanking. Yeah, I spank in my house, so there. No. Sin is so awful to God that the only punishment that can satisfy him and can make it right is death. Sin requires death. That's the punishment. When sin exists, it must be killed. And then God can be satisfied. Well, that creates quite a dilemma for a God of the universe who's created us and wants a high fidelity relationship with us, one that we can clearly be heard by him. You can't hear something if you're dead. And we're all dead man walking. We're all sinners. We've all committed sin. So God looks at us. Number one, he can't be around us because we've sinned. No high fidelity relationship. And number two, if he is going to be around us at all he can do is kill us. I love you. Doesn't really work, right? So enter Jesus Christ. Enter God's perfect and holy Son. Enter the only hope you and I have ever had and ever will have for life and for anything close to a high-fidelity relationship with the God of the universe where you can actually hear from him. He comes to earth over 2,000 years ago. Okay? He lives a perfect, sinless life. Never once goes outside of God's will. Perfect and completely and totally sinless before God. Holy, if you will. The only person ever in the history of mankind besides Adam and Eve before they fell, to have a perfect, clear, high fidelity relationship with God. And so what God does is he says, well, I got to fix this problem. Because I love these people, man, and I want them to hear me. I'm going to do everything I can for them to be heard by me. And so what he does is he asks his son to be punished in our place. He says, Jesus, here's what we got to do. It's all about them. It's all about every person on earth that I've created special, I've created unique. They're my masterpiece. And I want to have a relationship with them. And yeah, I know they've chosen to go their own way. I know that. I know they've chosen to ignore me. I know some of them don't even believe in me. But you don't get it. I love them so much that I'm not willing to let their mistakes get in the way of what I want for them. Because that's how special they are to me. They're my children. There's no way I'm going to let them not experience what I have. So here's what we have to do. Jesus, you're going to have to die. Because I'm perfect. Because I'm holy. And because the only way I can have a relationship with them is if before me they appear holy and righteous without sin. That's the only way it'll work. And the only way that could happen is for me to kill them, is to punish them for all their sin. And that won't work. So you're going to die in their place. Cool? You cool with that? And Jesus says, absolutely, Father, whatever we have to do, because I love them too. So Jesus allowed himself to be arrested, beaten, nailed to a cross, so that the God of the universe could look at him and take every mistake you've ever made, every mistake I've ever made, every mistake that has ever been committed in the history of the world, every single sin, and he could take it all, take every bit of it, all of us, place it directly on his Son, and pour out every bit of anger and wrath that he has to right there on that moment, on that cross, so that it was gone. And he did it for you. He did it so that he could be heard by you. He did it because you matter that much to him. He wanted to have a relationship with you, and so he punished himself for it. Here's how it sounds in Romans 3, starting in verse 23. This is what Paul says about that amazing thing that happened. Here's what he says. It says, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Everyone has sinned. You, me, all of us. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has fallen short of God's glorious standard. God's glorious standard, of course, being perfection. So that's all of us. We're there. And when you fall short, a high fidelity relationship is not an option for you. The wall's up. But 24, yet God, with undeserved kindness. You ever think about that? Have you ever stopped and think? And some of you, I know you don't still believe in the God thing. I get it. But those of you who do, you ever stopped and think, wait a minute. This guy loves me, and I really don't even deserve it. I've done nothing to deserve how much he loves me. If anything, I've spent most of my life telling him he's stupid and that I know better than he does. And yet, with undeserved kindness, God declares that we are righteous. That word righteous there, that means holy. That means clean. That means perfect. God declares us clean and holy and perfect. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. The penalty, of course, as we said, was death. He freed us from that because he took that penalty and put it on his own Son. 25. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. He presents Jesus as a sacrifice. He presents Jesus as a sacrifice. He puts him up there. One bold statement. I love you. I love you so much. And people are made right with God, perfect, holy, made possible to have a high fidelity relationship with him where they can hear from him clearly. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So again, let me just put that package back together. The God of the universe who loves you more than anything else in the world, and because you and I, it's our fault, because you and I have over and 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 over told God, I got this. I know better. I know more. I'm good. I don't want to hear from you. I don't need you in my life. I know more than you. I know what's best for me. You don't. I know what's right for me. You don't. I know what's going to help me be happy. You don't. Even though we said all that to him, did all that, he made the ultimate move of love, the ultimate sacrifice, and he sacrificed his only Son. So that rather than being punished for our mistakes, rather than being punished for what we deserved, could have a relationship with God. We could hear from him. Now let me ask you, a guy that does that, a guy that has spent 6,000 years moving through every aspect of history, screaming over and over and over, listen to me, screaming over and over and over, I love you, doing everything possible to be known by you. Does that sound like a God that wants you to have to work to hear from him? That wants you to have to stand on one foot and climb a high mountain? No. The reason God sent his son, the reason he's done all of this, the reason he's moved heaven and earth to be known by you is because the God of the universe wants to be heard. He died to be heard by you. The Bible is a love letter to you. The cross is the ultimate act of love for you. Every ounce of history is screaming to you, I love you, you can be heard by me. Every sunset is screaming, I love you, you can be heard by me. Every blessing you experience in your life is literally heaven touching earth, saying, you can be heard by me. Stop thinking it's so complicated. Stop thinking it's so much work. Stop thinking I'm out to trick you. Stop thinking that I'm hoping to trick you into doing something you don't want to do. Just know that I love you. And I desperately want to be heard by you. So let me close with this question. I hope I've convinced you today that God wants to be heard by you. He's done everything in his power to be heard by you. So here's the question. If the God of the universe desperately wants to be heard by you, if everything he's ever done in his existence has been calling out to you saying, hear me, listen to me, I want to have a high fidelity relationship with you that affects your life on a daily basis. If that is true, and if you and I still struggle to hear from him, maybe, just maybe, maybe God's not the problem. Maybe it's not that he's not speaking. Maybe, just maybe, it's that you and I don't exactly know how to listen. And so what we're going to do for the next few weeks is we're going to open God's word and we are going to learn how to listen. How to hear from the God of the universe, who so clearly loves you, who so clearly has done everything he can to be heard by you. That's what we're going to do. And I know for some of you today, you're still not there, and I get it. You don't think you can hear from God, either because you don't know him, which you might not. Keep coming back. He'll make himself known to you. Others, you don't hear from God because you just don't know how to listen. We're going to work on that too. But leave here today knowing the God of the universe wants to be heard. Everything he's done in life, everything he's done in his existence points to that fact that he wants to be heard by you. So here's what I want you to do this week. Real simple, real clean, real easy, and then we're done. This week, here's what I want you to do. This week, I want you to wake up every morning, and I'm not asking you to pray for 30 minutes. I'm not asking you to read your Bible for an hour. I'm asking you to do one thing every day for 1 week. When you wake up, as you're brushing your teeth, whatever you're doing, take a moment, maybe in the car driving, and just say one question. No matter where you stand with God, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose, right? If you don't believe in him and you do this for a week and it doesn't work, you're right. So there. You have nothing to lose. Okay? For 1 week, on your way to work or wherever, I want you to pause for 1 second. I want you to say, all right, God, if you're going to speak so clearly, If you want to be heard, let me hear from you today. It's that simple. Just ask God for 1 week. God, let me hear from you today. And then, novel concept, listen. Just listen. You wouldn't ask your wife a question, hey, honey, what's for dinner? And then walk away, right? You would, but she'd throw something at you. Just listen. Ask God to speak to you and listen. And then because he will. When you think he speaks, obey. Do what he says. If you're driving down the street and you say, hey, God, speak clearly to me. And then a person's face, their name just pops in your brain. You don't know why. Well, that's God. Pray for them. Maybe you should call them. Maybe they need your help with something. I don't know. I'm not God, but he is, and he wants to speak to you. Try it for 1 week. Just try it. Just try it. Just ask God to speak clearly to you. And then if you think he says to do something, do it. If you're watching TV and you see something, you're like, man, I think I should help them. Help them. I can tell you right now, there's going to be a ton of stuff this week about helping the tornado victims in the Southeast. All right? As you're watching that, if something in your heart says, you know what? We have a little extra. I think I should give to them. Do it. That's God leading your heart. Do it. Just try to begin the process of listening to him, and then we're going to spend the rest of the series figuring out how. I'm going to tell you, it's a process. It's not the simple thing that's just going to work day one, all right? I now know my wife way better than I did on our first date, okay? If we're sitting on the couch now, I know her size. I know what the size means, all right? I know what the tone in her voice means because I know her intimately, and I can hear her. Newsflash, first date, ladies, we don't know that stuff, all right? So quit expecting us to. We don't know it. We got to learn. Your relationship with God is like every other relationship. You have to learn, and I'm going to try my best to teach you over the rest of this series how to do it. Because the God of the universe loves you, and he wants to be heard by you. And I think you want to hear him too. Because I think deep down you know, man, if I could really talk to the God of the universe, if I could really hear from him, I could probably have avoided some of the mistakes I've made in my life. Just maybe. Just think about that. Think about that for 1 second. Whether you believe in God or not, just imagine what it'd be like to actually hear from him. And to know in faith that what I'm doing is something the God of the universe has told me to do. Like pick up everything you have and move to Myrtle Beach and start a church. With 6 people in a house. That relationship is there for you. God wants to be heard. And the rest of the series, we're going to dig into it. But I challenge you today, spend this week. Simple question. God, let me hear you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray for every person in this room. Lord, I pray that you will speak so clearly to them this week, that they will so clearly hear your voice, they will so clearly hear what you're doing, that they will have no doubt in their mind that it's you. May this week begin a radical, life-changing journey of revelation and of understanding of the relationship that is offered to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, may it rain from this place today that you want to be heard. Everything you've done is proven. So in your name we pray.